Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light.
As I listened on Thursday to the testimony of Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, I knew that what I had planned to reflect on this morning had to be set aside. This happens to preachers from time to time. I've had it happen as late as I was stepping up into the pulpit. And I know someone who has said that there have been a time or two when they finished composing their sermon as they sat down after delivering it. I at least had a few days, which was enough time for me to pass a draft by a few other eyes and hearts. And I'm glad that I did, because they saved me from my worst inclinations to fill this time with statistics and analysis and politics, to avoid, in other words, literally the heart of the matter. The statistics are staggering, yet it's the stories and the women who tell them that really matter. Now, before I go any further, I do want to say that while I won't be talking in any kind of explicit detail, I understand that any discussion of the ways our patriarchal misogynist society degrades and dehumanizes women might be a rough sermon for some people to hear. So if you find these reflections bringing up painful things for you, please listen to your body and your heart. Reach out to others for support. Reverend Alex is available to listen, as am I, Leah, Chris, and members of our pastoral visitors. Your covenant group might be a safe place, perhaps a close friend or a member of the family. What I'm getting at is that if your feelings are too large to hold, and if it is at all possible, please don't try to hold them alone. I also want to say here at the outset that I recognize that the last thing some of you may want is another straight, white, gender-conforming man pontificating about something that he, that I, can't really know about. That's not quite right. I can know, but I can't fully understand. I can't fully comprehend because I'm a straight, white, gender-conforming man who grew up in this country over the past half century. I know that the anger I felt these past few weeks, the disgust, is nothing compared to the anger, the pain, sometimes the shame, the grief, the fear, the exhaustion so many women have had to carry for their whole lives, which many of you have had to carry for your whole life. Over the past year, since the Me Too movement began, a number of women I've known have used Facebook and other social media platforms to tell the story of their experience of sexual harassment, abuse, and assault. All too often it was stories in the plural, because so many had more than one. These women courageously, defiantly wrote about their experiences, some for the first time ever. They wrote of being harassed, attacked, abused, and assaulted by strangers, friends, family. One friend of mine from high school had a list that began with harassment in elementary school and continued throughout her life. None of this should have been surprising. I know the statistics, most of you probably do, and they are alarming, to put it mildly. Yet I was surprised and shocked, deeply saddened, and really, really angry that women I've known have had to suffer in silence for so long, have had to suffer with this at all. And that just shows you how oblivious I've been. I've been able to see, yet not see. the dominant misogynist, white supremacist, classist, heterosexist culture in which we live does such a good job of putting a clear and polished veneer on everything. And it's expert at deflecting attention. Oh, don't look too hard at those young black men being shot in the streets. Call it anomaly, a few bad apples. Don't see the system this violence stems from and supports. Don't look too hard at the staggering and increasing wealth gap between those with the most and those with the least. Don't see the structures that guarantee and depend on this disparity. Don't look too hard at the mothers, daughters, sisters, friends, aunts, grandmothers, co-workers, teachers, all those women who have been and are being assaulted at a rate that's equivalent to one act of sexual violence against a woman every 98 seconds. Don't look too hard at any of that, society says, and especially don't look at all the many ways, large and small, that women are harassed and abused on a daily, hour-by-hour, moment-by-moment basis. Those things won't make the evening news, yet they work together to create the cultural context from within which some men can believe that they have the right to treat women as less than human, and other men are able, even if unconsciously, to avoid seeing the truth that's right in front of their eyes. In this room, there are women who have stories they could tell, many of whom have no doubt never told anyone, except perhaps a therapist or a very close friend. I imagine that some of these women have lit candles over the years. These stories are most certainly among those things that we say go unsaid, the things we light one last candle for each week. So let me say what shouldn't need to be said, but might. These stories, your stories, have a place in the sanctuary of our hearts. To the extent it is possible, we see you, we hear you, we believe you, even if you don't say a word. Women is not a monolithic category, any more than any other group is of one mind at all the time. The past few weeks have been hard in a variety of ways for a variety of reasons. And the last few days? Well, the papers are saying that the nation was captivated, riveted by the scene that played out in the Senate. Captivated? Riveted? Those are words we use to describe action movies and thrillers. Sitting on the edge of our seats. But this wasn't a performance. This was just about as clear a distillation of our country's dominant misogynist culture as anyone could want. It was infuriating, nauseating, forehead slapping, how can anyone not see what's going on, Ing? It was surprising and horrifying for those who've been able to avoid the truth of the way women are and have been treated in our society. It was wearyingly predictable for those who live that truth. A week or so ago, a member of the congregation stood during Joys and Sorrows to share that she had been remembering roughly 25 years ago, during the hearings concerning the nomination of Clarence Thomas to the Supreme Court, when he was accused of sexual harassment by Dr. Anita Hill. She said that she and her friends back then talked about how their generation was going to bring about change, that they would raise their sons to be different, that they would find partners who were different, that these men they lived with and loved We're going to reject the patriarchal, misogynist culture that was on such clear display in those hearings. That was in 1991. And she said, here we are again. It can feel, it does feel for many, that nothing has changed and that nothing is ever really going to change. And that can lead some women and some feminist men to a kind of hopelessness, a demoralization born from decades upon decades of denigration and dehumanization. There's a school of thought which says that all sermons must end on a note of hope. A preacher should send the congregation back into the world with inspiration. I'm not sure that I believe that as strongly as some do, yet there is some truth in it. And despite the way things seem right now, many of my female friends have told me that they hope, that they do take hope in the fact that the here we've come back to is not exactly the same here we were at. From the Women's March to the Me Too movement to the predicted and hoped for blue wave, which shows every sign of being led by women and in particular women of color, there seems to be a wider, growing awareness today of what has been, for too long, by too many, too ignored. And there is a greater willingness, it seems, to call things as they are, or perhaps a refusal to let that truth continue to be ignored. On Thursday, the world witnessed a petulant poster child for patriarchy bluster his way around the thing being unsaid, that straight, white, gender-conforming men, and especially straight, white, gender-conforming men of means, are entitled to use and abuse women in any way they like, just as they are entitled to everything else in life. Kavanaugh and those male senators who sat in judgment looking for all the world like the tribunal of commanders in The Handmaid's Tale was a personification of the problem. And then there was Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, who came forward to tell her story, knowing the vilification that would be hurled at her like so much excrement. She came forward in front of the cameras, in front of the world, to speak clearly and courageously about the egregious harm that had been done to her, not only by this man, but also by the society that had given this man permission, and which demanded of her acquiescence. I asked one of my friends who'd shared her story online, sharing parts of it for the first time, if she was okay after sharing so publicly something that had been, until then, entirely private. And she said simply, I was ready to share. And whether it's in a Senate hearing on national television or on a person's Facebook page or with a hashtag at the end of a tweet, more and more women are finding themselves ready to share. In numbers that would have been inconceivable not all that long ago, women are bravely telling the truth of this culture, the truth that so many just don't want to acknowledge. And it seems that more people are now more willing and able to listen. And it's that in which I find some hope. Let's take a moment of silence.